Lord, it's been another horrendous week. And we turn to you now. Because many of us believe there is nowhere else to turn to. Especially at times like this for us. We pray for your mercy. We pray for your understanding. Lord, speak to our hearts. Grab hold of my words, my feeble words. Make them a billion times better than I could ever imagine them to be, because they will be Holy Spirit sent and inspired. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a look at the first slide. I wonder whether you are easily moved. I want to ask the men especially, as you see that notice board there of people posting messages to the missing at the Grenfell Flats. How have recent news items impacted you? The attack in Westminster, in Manchester, a London bridge, and now the fire last week. Maybe you say, well, I'm just not the emotional type, Wes. Is that really true? Just think back to that parking ticket you got recently. Or maybe that week when the boss made you work 70 hours. The bus that broke down, making you late. A couple of weeks ago, we were down in Devon on holiday. And after a torrential day of rain, about 9 o'clock in the evening, the rain finally stopped and I got us all out. Come on, we're out. We're going to take the dog for a walk. After about 10 minutes, it started chucking it down again. And I just let out this big, no, much to the embarrassment of my wife, Jane, in the middle of the street. But far worse was the reaction of my kids. They didn't even bat an eyelid. There's idiot dad again. But maybe you really are not, as men, some of you, the emotional type. But I want to ask, is that right? Have you just been conditioned by society? It's been fascinating this past week with all these different interviews. The vast majority, I would say, whether it's politicians, whether it's been people grieving, relatives, have been with women. Where are all the men that want to be interviewed? Oh, we have seen the men, haven't we? Screaming, ranting uncontrollably, talking hatred. We've seen some of those men. There have also been some real brave men standing up and talking as well, I know. But certainly in the minority. So maybe you just say, well, I am not emotional. Well, God is. You're made in his image. Maybe you need to be. Now, I don't mean, of course, in the sense that he has mood swings like us, but regularly we hear about God's heart, his response. We read of him being angry. We read of him laughing. We read of him being jealous, of sharing joy, showing love, hate. We read of Jesus on occasions, moved with compassion and grief and anger and so on. How do you think God reacted this week as the Grenfell Flats burned, consuming many of his precious creation made in his image? How do you think God feels right now as the forest fire rages in Portugal, where probably just as many have died? How do you think he feels about the 100,000 Iraqis trapped in Mosul by IS? As forces are trying to free them in this incredibly bloody battle. God the Father didn't make the world like this. But we, you and me, all of us, in our rebellion and turning back on him, we've created chaos. And for all of us today, I want us to be under scrutiny, but especially the men because of Father's Day. And as the service has unfolded, we've seen how God calls us as men to have an important role in the church, in the family, in society. Not better or lesser than women, but unique. For our homes, for our society, for the churches, strengthening, encouraging, protecting, providing, and leading in a sacrificial way. And we're looking in this new little series right up to the school holidays of just a number of people each week who've had encounters with Jesus. And on Father's Day, it's a father called Jairus. So let's have a look at him, this next slide, please. Verse 22 to 23 gives us his name, the fact he's a father, a ruler in the synagogue, and the fact that he's desperate. Jairus being a synagogue ruler is hugely significant. Because others in his position we meet are only, most always, on a collision course with Jesus. That's what makes this story all the more fascinating. There was another guy similar to Jairus, we read of in John chapter 3, Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jewish council. But he was so ashamed, so embarrassed about having a one-to-one with Jesus, he went at night. But there's absolutely no shame. No shame you see here with Jairus. Despite the fact that some of his contemporaries had already made it perfectly clear in Mark's gospel where they stood when it came to Jesus. In chapter 2, they accused Jesus, these Jewish leaders, of blasphemy. In chapter 3, already after Jesus healed someone in the synagogue on the Sabbath, they are plotting how they can kill him, but not Jairus. Look at his actions. You've got the verses on the back of your outline. Let's have a look at the next slide, please. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. Now, this is remarkable. Here's a broken man. That's obvious. A desperate man at his wit's end. Like so many we've seen this week in this incident. How horrific. Can you imagine it? I can't, but if we just try to be told that maybe you will never, ever find the body of your loved one because it will be so unrecognizable. Now, Jairus' actions, I'm sure, for the Jewish leaders almost bordered on the unsavory for a man of his position. Rulers of synagogues and their type, we're told elsewhere by Jesus, loved to lord it over others, ordering them around. Certainly they didn't go groveling in the dust to a carpenter, a nobody, from the back of beyond Nazareth, who made outrageous, blasphemous claims about himself. Good heavens, Jairus, get a grip on yourself, man. Remember who you are, and think of who's watching. Are you affected by those watching you? Do you respond in times of crisis and difficulty how you think others think you should respond at times? The phrase, I've got to be strong for everyone, I've got to be strong for the family, is such a weird one. Where on earth did it come from? Because generally it means no signs of emotion, no crying, stiff upper lip, we're Brits and all that lot. When a lot of that is just nonsense. Maybe being strong is actually showing emotion and tears at times, restrained or not restrained. As we look at the next slide, we see that his actions clearly reveal his heart. Men, especially this morning, can people see your heart? Do they know what gets you all stirred up? I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they do. But it's your pay packet, the footy, the government, the opposition, the weather. Do they know who you care about? Do they know who you really love? And all these recent tragic events, we've seen people's incredible love for one another so dramatically. For Jairus, it was his daughter. And notice how he describes her, his little daughter, which I find fascinating. Especially when we think when Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave birth to Jesus, she was probably between the age of 12 and 14. 12 to 13 was the age that Jewish girls were given in betrothal. Yet to Jairus, she still is precious little daughter. Last week, as I mentioned, we were on holiday with the kids and their friends. And yet my daughter, who's now traveling in Thailand, just having graduated, got a job in South Wales, she's still my little daughter. But for Jairus to come out and say this, see, it's hard for us to understand how different the culture was. Especially when it came to children. I mean, they were just dismissed. And girls, well, girls, what do you do with girls? But he doesn't care. He's not bothered about what convention is, what's right or wrong. So he falls at Jesus' feet and he pleads earnestly. I believe that Jairus has seen Jesus before, maybe in his own synagogue. Probably doing some incredible miracles, and he believes Jesus is the only hope. But it's important to notice it wasn't his love for Jesus that brought him, but simply because he's desperate. Believing Jesus was his last hope. Now, the suspicions that his fellow Jewish leaders shared, they're cast aside. How many of you can tell that story? It was desperation that got you right with God. It wasn't great love to begin with, but desperation. Despair is strangely often the prelude to grace. Men, to people who need your love, your time, your attention and care, do they know that you matter to them? What about the church family here? Because I'm not just talking about biological dads. I'm talking about the guys, the men of the church, the responsible position that we're given to love and to lead and protect by our generosity, by our service, by our encouragement. To the women, to the children, do they know that? That you love them by the way you come to church, by the way you pray for church, just by the way you serve here, by the way you're involved, by the way you're interested in them. Do they know that? Or would they not even have a clue who your name is? Because you just drift in and out. Let's have a look at the next slide. Let's see Jairus' response. Well, it's an infant faith that he's got in Jesus, but it's going to go on a roller coaster ride. Jesus agrees to his pleading and goes back to his house. Whether it was a mile or so away, we don't know. But what an agonizing journey it must have been. And this before the major delays coming up with this other woman that Jesus heals. Verse 24 speaks about huge crowds following him, relentlessly pressing in, making it impossible to move quickly. This must have been excruciating for Jairus, as he and Jesus were slowed down, just like ambulances we see here in London, especially in rush hour. You ever been in a rush, in rush hour, especially up in central London? It is impossible to get anywhere fast. But from now on, we hear no more words from Jairus. But I believe his silence speaks volumes. We don't hear of him going into meltdown or creating a big fuss when they stop en route to heal this woman. What do we just read of? It seems as though he's just trusting in Jesus and he's just following Jesus, sticking closely to his side. And so the snail-paced procession all grinds to a halt for this woman. Yet what lessons Jesus is teaching Jairus even in this? Despite the delays, this woman's healed. Jairus' faith must have soared as he saw another amazing miracle, giving him renewed hope that Jesus really could heal his daughter. But then look at verse 35. What a hammer blow. I don't know if there can be anything tougher in life to hear those words, your child has died. Now, I'm conscious that a few of you have had that horrendous experience. A couple of friends of ours have. And I can't even begin to imagine the utter heart-wrenching, rending news that must be. What does Jairus do? Does he break down? Does he do as his friends tell him, not bother Jesus anymore? I mean, why would he? What's the point? She's dead. No, he doesn't do that. So does he explode? Not being able to contain his anger, frustration any longer. He knows this woman's been healed. But after all, so what? An unknown woman, an unclean woman, an outcast. She wouldn't have even been allowed into his synagogue. Why, Jesus? Why did you have to choose to heal her over my precious little daughter? No, it seems as though he says nothing, but just does what Jesus tells him. Don't be afraid, just believe. And so he trusts Jesus. Maybe he did because the news was all wrong. I mean, it just seemed that his daughter was dead. Maybe the messenger had misheard. But as they arrive, it's plain to not only see but hear, due to the mourners, she is dead. But he still follows Jesus in and witnesses the most amazing miracle he couldn't have ever dreamt or imagined. And I love the understatement of the year in verse 42. Look, as this daughter is raised back to life, Jairus and co. were astonished. Oh, wow, that's amazing. Look, she's back from the dead. Well, please notice as we turn quickly to Jesus, he is to be the real center of our attention and focus this morning. Because as the story progresses about Jairus, we know he's there, but we hear nothing from him. It's as though Mark, the author, is trying to prove a point. Yes, I'm introducing you to many different interesting characters in Mark, but there's only one person really worth noticing. There's only one person who takes center stage, and that's Jesus. Because it is all about Jesus. That is not a corny phrase. That is a solid, theological, deep phrase. Whether it's Father's Day, Mother's Day, Remembrance Sunday, whatever, it's always only about Jesus. It's all every day about Christmas Day, Good Friday, Easter Day, all rolled into one. Jesus coming into a broken world to rescue and redeem it, to bring healing where there's sickness, to bring hope where there's despair, to even bring life where there's death. So let's look at Jesus and his actions briefly. Let's have a look at the next slide. Notice the contrast with Jairus. Jesus is calm, not frantic. Jesus is helping, not needing help. Jesus is followed by others, not following others. Jesus is available for all. He's not a leader of a synagogue, and yet he takes the complete lead. And as we look at Jesus' actions, let's remind ourselves where he's come from. If you didn't know the section before, he's just come from the other side of the lake. Why did he go there? To heal a solitary, abandoned, demon-possessed man. But now he's back amongst the crowds, available for anyone and everyone. And notice his actions with Jairus. I mean, this is one of the very own people, all of Jairus' mates. They hate Jesus. Some of them are plotting to kill Jesus. So maybe Jesus could have responded like this. Hey, what's the matter, Jairus, leader of the synagogue? Can't you heal your own daughter? Aren't your prayers righteous enough? What's the sin in your life that God must be punishing you for? Isn't that what you guys are teaching in the synagogue these days? Just suck it up. Take it like a man. No, of course not. Not our Savior. Immediately Jesus goes with Jairus to see his daughter. Despite entering enemy territory, the home of a Jewish leader. Maybe it was a trap. Yet as they press on, Jesus gets sidetracked on the way. He's no respecter of persons. Now, while Jairus' daughter grew up in a very privileged home for 12 years, this woman for the very same 12 years has suffered dreadfully. And Jesus wants to heal her, as well as Jairus' daughter. Why? Next slide. Because he's revealing his heart. It's a heart where the cross is at the center. Because Christ has a heart for everyone in need. Immediately after he's healed the woman and met with her, Jesus and Jairus hear the news the daughter is dead. Look how Jesus speaks to him so tenderly. Don't worry, Jairus, what they're talking about. No matter how dreadful the news is, don't be afraid. Just trust me and believe. So they press on to the house, and I love verse 39. Now notice, Jesus doesn't have to engage with these professional mourners. That's what they did back then. You paid professional people to mourn. So you didn't have to engage with them and so get their insensitive response. But I believe he purposely does to show them up, to prove who he is, and to prove and show what he thinks of and can do with death. I've also wondered how these mourners could be so cruel and just laugh in an instant. But hey, after all, they were professional mourners. I mean, they knew death when they saw it, and she was dead. But Jesus knows different. What's Jesus saying here? Death to him is not a problem. Raising someone from the dead for Jesus is just as easy as tapping someone on the shoulder and saying, wake up. So whatever your hurt, whatever your problem, whatever your pain this morning, it is not a problem to Jesus. Jesus is in complete charge now. Look at verse 40. Let's see the next slide to see his response to the situation. He gets rid of these mourners. Go on, get out, you faithless, unbelieving generation. But Jairus, come on, and Mrs. Jairus, Peter, James, and John, you're coming with me. Talitha kum, little girl. Oh, haven't we heard that phrase before? I say to you, get up. And those words, Talitha kum, they must have been so memorable to Peter, who witnessed this and was Mark's informant to write his gospel, remembered the exact Aramaic phrase Jesus used. And he took the girl's hand. Wow! Another little thing that we don't want to miss culturally. He took hold of death. That is a big no-no in Jewish custom and culture. You did not do that. You did not touch a corpse. That made you unclean. But of course, Jesus was going to make himself ultimately unclean as he went to the cross and died for us in our place. Little girl, more literally, little lamb, arise. Go back there to that room 2,000 years ago. And imagine seeing that little girl, her eyes flutter and then open wide. What was the first thing that she saw? The face of Jesus. Immediately she not only stood up, but she walks around. Of course she was dead, but to Jesus, she was just sleeping. What about your loved ones who knew Jesus as Lord and Savior and have died? Wonderfully, they didn't die to Jesus. They just fell asleep. And this is a spectacular picture for every single one of us who know and trust Jesus. When we die in Christ, we just fall asleep. And we will awake, and as we're raised, what's the first thing we'll see? The face of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is so clear for us to see, crystal clear by his actions and tender words of assurance, reassurance. With one of his final ones being little girl, little lamb. You know, however precious your children are to you, however precious are the children, the young people that you pray for in this church, oh wow, they're not as precious as they are to Jesus and God the Father. His heart is all for this little girl, for this woman. His words of tender concern, calling Jairus to simply believe and trust him, are what he calls us to do. But the challenge is, will we? Look at the last verse, verse 43. Jesus has got complete concern. Hey, give her something to eat. She's had a rough day. Friends, Jesus calls us to trust him for even the greatest of things. Just like Jairus at one point, he was trusting Jesus if it wasn't bad enough to help him heal his very sick daughter. He's later on asking Jairus to trust him to raise her from the dead. Jesus is calling us. Jesus is calling us in this nation of somber mood, as the Queen described it, with grief and despair and uncertainty politically. He's calling us to trust him. Jesus now is in complete control, with complete authority, with complete power, with complete compassion. This is our Jesus. Last slide as we conclude. God the Father's heart to us on this Father's Day is best revealed how? By him as the Father sending his Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. Do you believe this is London's only hope? Do you believe this morning, whoever you are, Jesus is your only hope? And if you know and have done that, be like Jairus then. Especially you men who are biological fathers. Do the most courageous thing you could ever do with the children of this church, whether you're their father or not, and get them to Jesus. He couldn't get his little girl to Jesus, so he got Jesus to his little girl. How will that look like for you? Maybe life is mad busy at home. Well, you need to prioritize. You need to change things slightly. You need to make a big deal of weekends, especially getting the Bible out. Maybe you need to love your wife better and be a great example to your kids. Maybe you're not a father. Could you get involved in the children's work? It's incredible how many women we rely on in our children's work, and so few guys. But it may not be your gift, and that's fair enough. Well, what other ways could you support and help? Doing other ministries to take the pressure off there, other people, so that they're released and freed for that. What about by your money? What about by your generosity? What about by your prayers? When was the last time as a guy you were pleading earnestly, just like Jairus, for a child? When was the last time you were down on your knees at Jesus' feet, begging for help? Some of the stories this week of men risking their lives to save children have, well, they've just blown me away. They've melted me. They've broken me. But what are we doing to rescue children spiritually from a much, much greater problem? Are we getting them to Jesus? Because he is their only hope. He alone is mighty to save.